have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs on Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, ladies and gentlemen, to the newest episode of The Boardroom. We are gathered here to discuss the Ohio State loss. As you saw, Illinois Twitter was on one post-game, and so Josh has done us all a favor and collected the spiciest, hottest Illinois takes. Now, none of us have heard these yet, other than Josh, so we're just going to get our raw reactions to these and I guess kind of see where we're going from here based off these takes. So go ahead, Josh, just give us the first take and let's just dive right into it.
Well, I was going to say, can we do this like around the horn style where I can be Tony Reale and give you guys points or not? Or no? Okay, the first
and then
take.
You got to catch around the horn or PTI. You got to catch their mistakes after.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
We messed up. We thought Illinois was going to be a 3 seed. Turns out we're on the bubble. Okay, go ahead.
The first one comes from our group chat. We are frauds.
Wow. I didn't think it was going to be that aggressive.
I was expecting like Edgar Padilla is the loudest walk-on on the bench.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting like a real, we are frauds. Wow. I think first of all, you have to look at the expectations. Frauds in terms of like what our expectations were, or frauds in terms of being a good team, or what does that mean, we are frauds? Can I get some context here?
This was just the team is frauds. I don't know how else you want to describe it. Let's start with expectations.
Okay. But I guess to clarify thing, this group chat, it was not any of the four of us who sent it. It was one of our other friends who said, this is a fraud team.
Correct.
I would say this is not a fraud team. They are playing like frauds right now. We have a lot of good players and a good coach, yet we're not doing a good job of winning games, closing games out, and taking games seriously for 40 minutes.
You're saying frog team?
No.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Johnny. I do think that's a good way of putting it. Fraud team, maybe that's putting it a little bit harshly, but are we not playing up to expectations? Absolutely.
Not to sound like an idiot who's going to be dragged along all season, which I will be, but last year after we lost the 3Ms, Mizzou, Miami, Michigan State, I was like, we are frauds, but we were just playing like frauds. We turned it around, so I'm hopeful that we can still do it. I don't know where the difference between playing like frauds and actually being frauds is, but I feel like after a long enough time, it kind of turns into who you are.
It just becomes two shades of the same color. Yeah. It's impossible to tell what's what at a certain point. Okay. Well, that was a
tough one to
start. Yeah, start off with the F word there. I mean, you don't just throw that word around.
Sorry. All right, let's get actually more angry. Good morning to everyone except the Big Ten refs.
Okay. I assume they're talking about that out-of-bounds call at the end there.
There was no out-of-bounds call.
Look, I'm as angry as anyone else that they probably missed that call, but if you want to boil down an entire game to one call, then by all means, go ahead. A call where maybe you get the ball, where maybe you tie the game after you've been playing poorly for 39 minutes and 45 seconds or whatever it is. If you want to boil the entire game down to one call, I think that's silly to do. But good morning, Bo.
Yeah, yes, I agree with that person. The Big Ten refs majorly fucked that up.
Okay.
I mean, it's an objective call that you as a referee are supposed to make, which is the player is out of bounds and you as that baseline ref should know. Not to mention that baseline ref should have also seen Adam Miller taking a charge instead of what was then called a foul. That could have even been a flagrant. I mean, we've seen worse with Kofi, the guy flopping and falling on the ground multiple times between Mulcahy and the Mizzou game, and yet Adam Miller takes a shoulder to the face, no call. So the refs had a bad game. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. Is it why we lost the game? No, but it sucks that we were stripped of the opportunity from sending that game to overtime.
Very fair.
I think what the worst part about it is, as bad as we played, we still could have won the game just by making free throws, and it drives me insane.
That's like the fourth game that's been the case.
We didn't even have to play good on live ball. All we had to do was make free throws, and you still win that game. So yeah, the ref screwed it up, but if that's a game where you're like the underdog and you fight and scrap and claw, and the refs take that chance away from you, then I'm like, that really stinks. But I don't know. I mean, to not make free throws.
No, I agree. If you're a top 15 team and you're a 7-point favorite at home, you don't need to rely on the referees to win the game. Like Sam said, if you're a scrappy underdog, if it was the other way around, fine. But if you're Illinois, you do not need to be relying on referees with 8 seconds left in the game to make a call. That was close. Objectively out of bounds, but was close. Bobrovsky had a bad angle at it.
All right.
Yeah.
Go for it, Johnny.
No, I was just going to say, you're right. Like, I think that's the theme that we all kind of agree on is like, this is not even that good of an Ohio State team. You are a top 15 team at home. You should just be winning by 10 points or more. Like, you shouldn't even have to worry about the last 2 minutes of the game, let alone being down by 15 points at halftime.
I agree. There's two here. They go together. So KenPom's ranking have us at 10th, so we still should be fine. But then there's another person saying, you're right, your subjective feelings are more valid than stats. Got it. Are there things we need to improve on? Sure, absolutely. But let's not pretend we're Bruce Weber-led offense scoring 33 in a game against Penn State here. This is about the KenPom stats.
What are we in KenPom?
We're 10th.
After Saturday. Wow.
Do we feel like the 10th team is more of like the...
Okay. So yeah, so now looking at it, we're 11th. One interesting point that the guy forgets to mention is, in that 33-point game that we scored, we only gave up 38 points. We gave up 87 points to a team that doesn't even have a true center in Ohio State. So, like, you're just comparing apples and oranges to a Big Ten of 15 years ago to now. Like, you need to figure it out on the defensive end when you're the 30th best defensive team on KenPom.
We tried the stats thing with the BCS computer system. No one liked it. So we went to a more subjective eye test. If you want to tell yourself we're a top 10 team, that's fine. But I think any discretion in human nature can tell you that we're definitely not where we should be right now.
List off the teams that we've beaten that are good. A mediocre Duke team. Like, they're worse.
Minnesota beat Michigan yesterday.
Right. But, yeah, that was a home Minnesota win. So they destroyed them. But it's a good win for them.
I'm just saying
Minnesota at the time wasn't playing great.
It was a very good win, though.
But for us, I'm just saying our two best wins are the worst Duke team in a very long time and Minnesota. There's no, like, all the other teams that we that are competitive games, we haven't won. And you need to win those if you're going to be the 15th ranked Illini.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow. You're not the 10th ranked team in the country.
Reminds me of that F word we talked about earlier on in the first take.
Yeah. All right. There is a 0% chance that Kofi should declare.
There is a 100% chance that Kofi will declare. So his ceiling, quite frankly, like, he's at his ceiling. I don't know. Maybe that's kind of a spicy take too. But where else does the improvement come from? This is not an original thought. I believe Trevor Vless tweeted this a little while ago, but you watch Kofi's, like, ninth game and his 34th game, and, like, what is the improvement? Where is the improvement there? Is it defensive? I don't think so. Is it free throws? No. Has he gotten a little bit better down in the post, maybe passing it out? Maybe a little bit, but where has the improvement from Kofi come from? Where can it go? He's going to declare either way.
And I don't think he's going to get drafted because his skill set just doesn't, like, it doesn't fit the NBA. Yeah. Like, he can't. You had 6'8" EJ Liddell go out for threes, and he couldn't defend them with his life. So, I mean, he's going to declare, but then what? He's probably not going to be drafted, and he's going to go to Europe, which I guess is fine, which is what anyone should do to get paid.
I would love that. I would love to be Kofi Coburn and love to make a few million dollars a year in Europe. Just putting that out there. If there are any scouts that are looking for a 5'3" center in Yugoslavia, I would like to throw my name into the
room. Don't limit yourself to the center position. That's my advice.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, no, sixth grade point guard. I only scored 3 points, so I figured maybe I should move more down low into the post.
I have a question for you guys. So we were ranked 8th at the start of the season on the premise that Iowa was going to be a National Player of the Year contender and Kofi was going to be like a second or third team, potentially All-American. How do you think he's lived up to that hype?
Kofi?
Yeah, Kofi.
I mean, if you look at it, so, I mean, purely looking at the stats, you see he's averaging 17 and 10. He has improved his shooting a lot from 53% to 70%. So he objectively has gotten better around the rim. That being said, NBA draft like analysts don't really care that much if you don't have any range both offensively and defensively. So I think that's where we're kind of seeing this disparity of what his draft prospects look like, because he doesn't really have any outside game. That being said, is he close to being a second team all Big Ten? I would say so, yes.
I have just a quick question. On those stats that you're looking at, I don't have it in front of me. What's his turnover difference?
He's got, it's virtually the same. It's 1.9 turnovers game to 2 turnovers game. So okay. I did think the turnover margin was going to be higher than it was. But here's what I will say, too, is that stats don't tell the whole story, because if you were to just look at a box score from last night, you see Kofi went 7 for 7, 15 points, 11 boards. And you're like, oh, wow, like Kofi had a really good game. But then you also look at the 3 turnovers and the 1 for 5 from the free throw line. And especially that one really critical moment where we're down 8 and you can cut the lead to maybe 4. Kofi misses both flagrant free throws and then turns the ball over with the offensive foul. Like, it seems like there's still a lot left to be improved with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would just be a lot less like critical of Kofi, because the free throws just stick out in my mind. I close my eyes and I just see and I hear the noise of the missed free throw as it just goes right off the top of the iron there and falls back down.
Yeah, and that's what's confusing too. He did go from a 67% free throw shooter to a 54% free throw
shooter. It's crazy that it's 54 and it seems like it's like 33%.
It really does.
Because I feel like he's very streaky. I've seen there was like one game where he hit like 4 or 5 or 6 in a row, and then other games where he's just 0 for 4, 0 for 5 or whatever it is. And so I guess it eventually will even out to about 50-50 or whatever it is, but it does feel like he's hitting like 1 for 3.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's weird because that's just like kind of like a confidence thing, which you would expect him to be confident. I mean, he practices them all the time. Like, I can guarantee you he probably takes at least 100 free throws a day. Probably more than that, and it's just a lot of a mental confidence thing.
I mean, it's a little bit more difficult. Like, you look at a guy like Shaquille O'Neal.
No,
I feel like we're sometimes so critical of the guy when he turns the ball over when he's been playing organized basketball for 4 years, and it's so hard to be that level of athletic when you're 7'2". It's so difficult to do that, and we don't give these guys enough credit. Like, it is more than mental. His hand is huge. Tiny.
No, it's objectively very difficult to have that sort of like level of touch and balance at that size. But I think the point, the mental thing, is more of just like you can practice it all the time and it can still be good in practice. And then you get in the game situation and it's just different. Like, guys kind of struggle. And it's hard to, you can't just point to effort and say, oh, he's not trying hard enough. It's like some of those things that just like, you need enough reps in the game. It reminds me of a former Illini player who had a very up and down free throw percentage, Kipper Nichols, during his time. I want to read you what his stat line was. Freshman year, 62% from the line. Sophomore year, 86.2% from the line, averaging like 3 free throw attempts per game. So like, he's playing a decent amount. Then junior year, 57.9% from the free throw line. Senior year, 70% from the free throw line. And then his 3-point percentage goes 44% freshman year, 37% sophomore year, 22% junior year, and 10.5% senior year.
Oh,
so
my God.
Shooting is just an interesting, it's a really interesting statistic and thing that I'm sure he was practicing just as much, but there's a lot of elements to play.
Good thing there's no free throws in England. They don't have the free throw line there. All right, we'll get.
He seems like he's balling out though.
Yeah, I do love those British commentators going the Kipper Nichols. Yeah. All right, we're getting a little analysis-y here. So let that was a good little tangent there, Johnny. I appreciate you pointing out those statistics. But Josh,
I do not at all.
Josh, what's the next take?
All right, this one caused some internal ruckus within our group chat. Adam Miller after the game says, "I feel like we're building what a championship team needs right now. We see the problems and we're going to get better." Okay, I tweeted from the Boardroom account saying, "I love that Adam Miller says this. I understand." We didn't have a discussion in a group chat about this. I understand why you guys might not like that he said this, because like, we had these expectations and we're just not meeting it. My thought process about it is, next year, it's if when Io leaves, he's the point guard with Andre, and he needs to understand where, like, he needs to go through these losses, which we can't have him this year, but he's still learning. And I think some people had a perception of Adam Miller as this cocky guy who's coming in, who's going to hit all the shots. And people thought that Adam Miller was like that. I think he's learning as a player right now. Yesterday was, I think he and Grandison probably had the best two games of anyone. I know Io went out for 22, but like they showed a lot of effort between them two. Everyone else kind of was just like standing the whole entire game while them two were actually diving for balls and making big shots.
It's literally just not coach speak, but like athlete speak. What do you expect these guys to say? Like, it's the same press conference stuff in any sport, in any league, in any athlete, in any decade. Like, this is what you say after a game. What are you supposed to say? Like, what are you supposed to say? I have no problem with Adam Miller saying that. I have zero problem with Adam Miller saying that. What is he supposed to say?
Right.
What is he supposed to say,
Johnny?
Exactly. I think that's why we were saying that we maybe disagreed with you, is like, that's exactly what he's supposed to say. And like, you're totally right. It's good that he's getting that experience, but like, he's not really like, I don't know, inspiring any confidence into me that like they're going to fix these problems. It's not really falling upon him. It's really more the coach and maybe the veterans on the team to figure out the effort and figure out why you're not like winning games at home. But like, he's just saying a very generic thing. Yeah. So we were like, why are you tweeting this? Just being like that's like something we would expect from someone who's just very like blowhard line. Everything is positive. Look, even after a that's loss, fine. Our player fine. Says, oh, it's going to be good for us in the future. Like
99%.
You know what would have been better for us in the future is if we'd won and like improved our seeding.
No, that's fair.
99% okay. of every it. Single press conference quote is the same thing. You got your little 1% where Brad's like, I know shit that you guys don't know about, which apparently it was that we were going to lose to Ohio State at home. We still don't know what that little quote led to, but 99% of any press conference quote is going to be the same repetitive stuff, so I have zero problem with him saying
okay, that. So just to continue off of the press conference stuff, after the game, Brandon Underwood was asked if his team lacks toughness, and all he responded was, yup, and then there was many people that were not reassured. Do you guys agree, disagree?
I've never played Division I basketball, so I don't know the level of toughness that it takes to play that sport.
Maybe he's just trying to light a fire under his team. I mean, I don't doubt that they're tough. It's just, it's hard to work through a slump like this.
Yeah, I would say, I think a lot of, like, people might have not been reassured because he just gives a one-word answer and then just kind of downplays it. Like, that's almost a Lovie Smith answer that you would expect, right? Where he's like, yeah, we'll fix it. Where it's like, well, we're all kind of, we want to know why this isn't working. But I guess the counterpoint to that is, if Brad knew why this team lacked toughness, right, right. or if Brad knew why we couldn't get off to hot starts, like, he would be instilling this on them. But I think it's fair for him to have some pressure and for people to be asking those questions because we're not seeing the product that we want on the court right now.
I kind of prefer a coach like Brad being like, it's not okay, versus Matt Nagy being like, we need to get Cole the ball more right after the game. Well, then get Cole the ball. Like, why are you telling me this?
Are we still talking about the Bears? Are we going to get back into soccer again? Or?
All right. I realize people are upset, but it's not always the coach's fault. They are not making shots from three. Underwood drew up three plays coming out of a timeout, and they missed.
Well, if it was not always the coach's fault, then a coach would never get fired. So,
yeah, I think especially in college sports, when your coach is your general manager who's recruiting every single player on this team, it all falls on the coach. Like, it's pretty simple. So if Brad wanted better players to make those shots, then recruit them and win those recruiting battles. Like, yes, players need to be held accountable, but they're also like 20-year-old kids who are unpaid athletes who have school and other things. Like, Brad's job is to make sure that we develop these players who, I mean, I'm sorry, but a lot of them are foreign and fringe five-star players. So that's either on your development or your like rankings, like something is wrong and that falls on the shoulders of Brad.
Yeah. Let me add a little semicolon to what I had initially said and add on a little bit to what I want to say. Yeah, these are 18-year-old kids. Like, it's so hard to motivate 18-year-old kids, 19-year-old kids. Like, their brains, how they are incentivized is so different from maybe like a professional athlete. And yes, it does fall on the coach, but the coach has to figure out how to get these kids to play in empty stadiums, in empty gyms, like when there's no one watching. How do you get the best out of an 18-year-old kid like Adam Miller or Curbelo? And I don't have an answer for that. I don't know.
I mean, again, it's like, why are we talking about like this one missed three on that one good? Like, if you do your job and you execute enough, you win these games comfortably against teams like Ohio State.
All right, I have three more. One of them's pretty quick. What are your guys' thoughts on people being done? Like, they're just not going to watch Illinois basketball until they prove it.
You know, that's an interesting one.
I thought this was pretty easy.
Wow.
They were probably done after Miami and Mizzou last year.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, there's time to change it. There's time to turn this around. There's 12 regular season games left. You have a Big Ten tournament. There's ways to get back yourself into the national conversation in a positive light, not a negative light. And I think you just have to win games. Like, there's still a lot of time to turn this around.
Yeah, I think those people who say they're done are kind of full of shit. Like, they're still going to watch the games. You're kind of a fair weather fan if you just give up on this team and stop watching. What I think some of those people might be saying, like, I think Mike Carpenter might have said it, like, you maybe have to lower your emotional investment on this team until that they can prove that they're worth it. And some of that is just, like we talked about, the expectations of expecting a top five or a top 10 team. And personally, I'm still going to be really depressed when we lose winnable games, because I still think that this team was worthy of those expectations. And like, year after year, teams, when they take into, like, when people are looking at brackets, one thing they look at is what were the preseason rankings, because that tells the talent level of a team. So this is a top 10 team. All of the writers know that. Like, these people are very, like, experts on college basketball, and there's a lot of things that show this is a very talented team. So I think we should be really pissed when we lose winnable home games.
I agree we should be pissed. I agree this is a top 10 team. But I want to go back to real quick a few things that we said when we went on We Love No Other and previewed the basketball season with Robert. Fran, I think you had said something like, and I'm not like trying to make you look dumb.
I know you're
it's more
say,
just,
I know
what am I going to say?
You're going to say that every game matters and it's so important.
No. Okay. That's not what I'm going to say. Okay. What I was going to say is, I think you said, I was talking about like how important it is to have a third really solid scorer, which I don't know if we have. Adam Miller might be getting there. And I think you had said you'd probably rather have senior year Trent than Dante DiVincenzo. So my point is like, I guess like, I do think we're a top 10 team, but at the same time, it's like, I still think we need a third guy. And I'm sort of looking at this team and wondering, like, who was I expecting in the first place to, like,
Trent.
Yeah, I guess.
And but now you don't trust Trent because he's shooting contested two-pointers inside the arc. So, like, there's no reason to trust
him. It's sort of like, I expect them to be a top 10 team, but I can't really explain to you, like, how it's going to happen or what I was expecting. I just sort of kind of expect it to fall in place.
My emotional, I guess, divestment from this is that there's a, every game I thought we had a chance to win, and I still do think that we have a chance to win every game. Like, I'll be sort of confident going to Iowa. Like, we're probably not going to be favored, but I'll be confident. And I also do think every single game, including this upcoming Tuesday, there's a good chance that we could also lose. But when before, I was like, I don't think we're going to lose to, like, Maryland. I don't think we're going to lose to Ohio State.
Right. It's not like Illinois football where people actually have a reason to be done, where the product has been so terrible for the last 15 years consecutively without a break. The whole idea of like being done, where you go into Ohio State football game, there's no chance. Okay, I know someone's listening right now, like, the game
they
was canceled, we had
they forfeited.
No, there was no chance.
They didn't have fields. And
or you go into an Illinois Iowa football game, and it's like, realistically, there's no chance. It's not like that in basketball. So for you to just be like, I'm done, I understand lowering the emotional investment. Maybe we all could use a little bit of that, quite frankly, in a time like this.
That's just sports in general, though. I mean,
yeah, that is the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat right there. But hey, if you're done, more fun for the rest of us, right? You know, more tickets available for the Final Four.
Yeah. All right. Sam, I think that's a really good point that you made, though, about like, who were we expecting to be that third best player? And I guess that's Trent. I think one of the things too is like, stylistically, we still don't have a fully figured out, like, I don't know, five-man crunch time rotation. Mm-hmm. As we've seen, we've lost multiple games by 3 points, or in the last game, 6 points. And I think the guy that we really miss is Alan Griffin, because he's kind of like that offensive rebounding energy and three-point shooting that we're missing a little bit. And between him and Feliz, like, that was just another guy that you could depend on, versus now, like, you're either going to run out Curbelo or Miller, and like, Curbelo stylistically with Io, when you're kind of like spreading the floor, you're sometimes passing an open three to him, which he's not going to take or miss. Or if it's Adam Miller out there, you kind of, once again, just have a freshman who's not quite as dependable. So like, we could just really use that like lockdown 3-point shooter that we get. I mean, we have a little bit with DeMonte, but like, he's not quite the same playmaker. So I guess that falls on us for like maybe overestimating what our third best player is and what like stylistically is a good 5-man group.
And we interrupt this podcast for some Illinois football breaking news. Number 99, Gifted Owen, has decided to return to the University of Illinois after previously stating he would transfer. Ladies and gentlemen, we haven't seen a transfer decision like this since Sam Mays decided to transfer. And then for any reason or another, he decided, no, I'm coming back to Illinois. Sam, I think thank this will you be a so much for that Northwestern game our senior year. We cannot thank you enough for that.
I think this will be a much bigger impact than Sam Mays.
I don't know. We'll see. But Owen,
okay,
welcome back.
Someone go onto YouTube right now and clip the Sam Ellinger, we're back, quote tweet that.
And it worked out so well for Sam Ellinger at Texas after he said that quote, so I'm sure it'll be the same thing.
All right.
Couple more takes.
All right, two more we have left. This one is the discussion that some people started to have about Underwood. We go to the tournament, doesn't work out. Next year, it doesn't go so well. Should people start like moving him towards a hot seat? This is a really silly one. I feel like not a chance. We're relevant still.
Nah, no. I mean, you need to see like a bad year this year. You need to see a bad year next year to even start thinking about that. I mean, in my eyes, like we made the tournament last year. Like, I don't think that's fair to say like we didn't make the tournament. If you're appraising Brad, you look at last year and you were like, okay, that was a tournament team.
Brad get his bonus? His tournament bonus?
Did he? I'm sure he should have. Yeah, I think you are right. So, like, if you are looking at his body of work, obviously you wouldn't be able to say, oh, he made it to the round of 32 or the round of 16. You'd never know. But, you know, he made the tournament last year. Unless things really fell apart, you know, he's going to the tournament this year. I understand expectations are higher than just making the tournament this year. But, no, you're 2+ seasons away from that happening, unless some sort of, like, Lamont Evans Oklahoma State scandal were to drop or something like that. I can't see a reason why.
Yeah, Maddie, you're totally right. That's also kind of what frustrates me, though, with some people on Twitter expectations when they're like, oh, you have to enjoy this year. We haven't made the tournament since 2013. Like, no, last season was our making the tournament season. And for me, that's what I consider. We made the tournament last year, but that's also why we have these high expectations, because that was our, like, last year was our entry, if you want to compare it to, like, other teams. Last year was our 2015 Cubs. This was our 2016 season. So, yeah, Underwood still not on the hot seat, but he should be held accountable for the fact that he is a really good roster. Sure. And just not getting wins.
Yeah, I think accountability is a good word versus hot seat.
I think what you're hearing is someone who's been an Illinois fan since before 2005, so he's seen like the peak, and then someone who's technically never experienced an Illinois tournament, so... Definitely seeing different expectations.
Yeah, that is fair. That is true. I have only known bad Illinois revenue sports teams. Only. Exclusively. So every experience is a brand new experience for me.
All right. And the last one is, should we be seeing a change? Do you think we should be seeing a change in the starting lineup come Tuesday, just given the fact that there's been these slow starts that have cursed us with the Northwestern, Maryland, and Ohio State game?
I mean, what would the change in lineup be? Would it just be Curbelo and Trent?
Curbelo has improved himself in the last two games that he has earned the right to be starting. I think it's Grandison who's actually earned the opportunity, and you change him for DeMonte.
But Grandison's expectations compared to Curbelo's expectations are not the same.
Both are first year players for us.
Yeah, but you hold Curbelo to a much higher expectation, a much higher standard than you do Grandison. Like, he made a three, he had a nice rebound, nice defensive play. So you'd put in Grandison over DeMonte?
He's not giving you the Alan Griffin energy that Alan gave last year, but he's at least providing the same type of toughness that that you're missing.
I would love for him to, you know, if he makes his way into the starting lineup, it means he's probably improved and he's probably earned it. He's probably deserved it over DeMonte. I mean, there was that...
DeMonte The first possession of the last two games are the reason why we're down. Like he's let up an open three. It's been his possession. It's been a four-man that's shooting a three, and it's just him not closing out or something like that.
Yeah, and again, I do not want to throw DeMonte under the bus because I love DeMonte. But I saw on Twitter, I think Werner had tweeted, when he was coming back to the bench, Underwood yelled, do you want to play or something like that? And apparently DeMonte just, shrugged his shoulders, something like that. Again, I love DeMonte, but could a change be in the future? Maybe. I mean, his defense is pretty good. Is Grandison's defense better? He's taller. He's lankier. Maybe he can rebound a little bit better. And if he can shoot the three around the same percentage, then maybe it's worth trying.
Speaking of rebounding, Johnny, do you have anything to say about Georgie Bisoncevili?
Did you really just get his name wrong after 4 years?
If this is around the horn,
you're muted.
Fine. Muted. Go for it.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, Josh and I always banter about... I'm kind of a Georgie stan. He's always been one to not love Georgie's antics, whether it's the offensive fouls or just kind of controlling the ball or defense. But you're totally right. The rebounding has been a real disappointment this year. He walked away with zero rebounds.
It seems like he just stands there, puts his arms up, and doesn't move his body to get the ball. There's no boxing out. It's just or an effort to change direction if the ball is not coming exactly into his arms.
Shanashvili.
I'm not going to say it.
It's been like 4 years.
Three.
Almost four.
Yeah, so no, Georgie's definitely not someone who should be starting right now. Going back to the switching the starting lineup, I mean, Grandison has not played more than 15 minutes in any game this season. And even he didn't score a single point in the Maryland game. I guess he scored eight yesterday, but I don't know. DeMonte... his style, he's not a fiery, yelling kind of guy. So,
sometimes you can kind of get into it and then you're like, oh.
Yeah, I guess he did it. You're right. He did against Iowa with Connor McCaffrey. But I feel
CJ McCollum as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't feel like putting Grandison in really solves your problems. It's more of just you just need to get more out of your five best players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Brad promised me that this was going to be fixed, and if I've watched sports before, I know that that means it's going to be fixed.
This is your new thing. Your new thing is to just say everything's the way that people are saying. When there's a penalty on a flag, they're it's the other team, and you're if this guy's saying it, then it has to be true.
Well, I mean, I just like making fun of some of those sports isms that we all just are so diehard for. A press conference, a coach said that. Or if there's a fumble and a player on the bottom of the pile says that it's his ball, that means it's his ball.
Against Iowa or against Ohio, they were chanting defense, and he's like, "What? Don't they know to play defense?"
Right, right. They should know by now.
You're just a literal sports fan.
I'm a very literal sports fan. Literally. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Those were all the takes that I grabbed from Twitter around.
Those were spicy. I mean, if you want to tweet some of those at us, maybe next time we'll actually give credit to some of those people. I don't know. We probably should have.
Well, the ones we were making fun of, we probably don't want to.
We're not making fun of. We're diving in.
Adding a semicolon.
We're diving in. We're really getting down to the nitty-gritty of some of these takes, and we're being respectful. Look, if you want to put your take on the internet, you open it up for respectful disagreement and discourse.
Respectfully.
No, yeah, no. Here's a good one, though. Bob Zupke tweets, "At what point do you start questioning the job that Underwood is doing with this team?" And someone quote tweets it and says, "I hate this fan base." How do you hate this fan base for questioning the fact that we have a really talented team and a 9-5?
No one said he needs to get fired. They're just questioning the job he's doing right now and the rut we're in.
Bob Zupke has more fandom in his pinky than whoever quote tweeted that in their entire body.
The guy is buried across from State Farm Center Memorial Stadium.
Yes, yes. You cannot question. That man came back from the dead. I don't even know if the forward pass was around back then. Actually, I think he invented it. that man is Illinois fandom right there.
Yeah, I feel like there's a portion of the Illinois fan base that just you can't critique the players. You can't critique the coaches. Who do you critique then when we're 9-5 or when Lovie Smith is 2-8? Who are we supposed to create? Are we everything just fine then? We can't get angry online? I'm sorry. That's how I have stress relief, okay?
And I'll just end it on this. I'll end it on this again for our Chicago or Bears listeners. For those of you who are Bears fans, you saw there was a disaster of a press conference this week. Chicago media had no problem going balls to the wall and just destroying.
They love it. They wait for this every year.
Pace, Nagy, and Phillips, and all those guys. They had a newspaper, tabloid, whatever you want to call it. It was their face in a dumpster fire. Twitter was destroying them, and rightfully so. And I wouldn't compare Illinois basketball, who's still a solid team, versus the Bears, who have been mired in mediocrity for 35 years. But you would never see that level of criticism, I feel like, with Illinois media. And it's just different. I don't know. It's just different. I'm not saying we need to start criticizing, but we just need to be real with it.
By the way, I don't even think Brad would say they're doing a good enough job right now.
Yeah. I mean, if he said he's going to fix it.
Only time will tell.
Ladies and gentlemen, only time will tell. Alrighty, that about wraps it up here for this episode of The Boardroom. Join us next time where maybe we'll dive in some even spicier takes, dare I say it, after a victory, huh? Am I right? Alright, everyone. Take care. ILL.